Welcome back, everybody, to the continuing 2022-2023 Hoops HD preseason
Woohoo!
coverage here. This is our Pac-12 preview show. If you're looking for another conference, go up there to the season preview tab. You should be able to find it. They're all up there, or they will be up there the next few days. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined up top here by David Dorman and John Slica. Down straight below me, John Tytel. To his sides, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org. And the puppet David Griggs, who I guess is back with us as well.
Absolutely.
As mentioned, this is the Pac-12 show, and we are recording this on the evening of Wednesday, October 26th. And Rocco, you just came today from Pac-12 Media Day, am I correct?
That is correct.
Anything earth-shaking that happened there, or was it just
Well,
donuts?
The donuts.
yeah, the donuts were the big hit today. If you missed it, I put a picture up earlier with all 12 schools had a collection of donuts with their logos on top, all different flavors. So yeah, really creative idea, pretty cool. But overall, it was an interesting day just from the standpoint of it's now official. The rent in San Francisco is very expensive. The league is not going to renew the lease on that studio in 9 months. It'll go away in 9 months. So we have no idea where Media Day will be next year. My hunch is Las Vegas, but that is not official yet. So for me personally, being local, being able to do this for a fourth time, and I did the COVID year virtual, so a fifth time overall, it was a little nostalgic. First person I saw when I walked in was Bill Walton. Doesn't get better than that. He's one of the last people I saw when I left. But
We love
overall,
Bill.
it's a cool little event here in the West for us because, I see people like PJ Carlissimo every year, Casey Jacobson, Eldridge Rucasner. So anyway, it's that this book in Pac-12 Media Day is closed. We'll go to a new book later. Who even knows what the league will look like soon? USC and UCLA, of course, leaving soon for football reasons. We'll see what other members decide to do. So all of that, was the kind of main theme. And of course, at the start of the day, we have the commissioner there and getting bombarded with football level questions and all the basketball people just completely annoyed by that. But we eventually got out of that and into basketball, and then it was fun from there on out.
It is about Bill Walton. I say it's good to see that he recovered from his San Diego Padres losing to my Phillies. He was actually on TV for the Padres games. He was in
That's
the
awesome.
front row behind the catcher there for those games. But
It's still worse for the fans that were stuck behind Bill Walton.
Yeah, they should have put him on the air. Like he should have been calling the game.
Let's actually talk about where we're going this season, though, in the Pac-12. And Dorman, let me start with you. In the top 10 preseason is the UCLA Bruins with Jaquez back, with Tiger Campbell back. Is this a Elite Eight Final Four caliber team?
It is because of the guard play and the two guys you just named there, Tiger Campbell and Jaime Juarez, are as good as any backcourt in the country. And I would take them up against anybody. They got experience. They've been in the big games. They know what it takes. And they're really good and they're really well coached. And Cronin's teams are going to play defense. You know that. So yes, I think UCLA is every bit the part, and come March, this will be a very tough team to play.
Sliga, you agree with him?
Well, they're certainly going to be the top of the league as far as defense is going to be concerned. You always wonder with a Cronin team, are they going to have just enough offense to succeed right here? Experience-wise, they should be the cream of the crop for the Pac-12 with possibly a tie with Arizona, but we'll get to them in a moment.
Yeah, I think we're going to get to Arizona very soon. But go ahead, Greg. You had a comment on UCLA
I was just
first.
going to say, I really like this UCLA team. And it for years and years and years, and maybe even longer, we, and me in particular, were critical of Mick Cronin, just pointing out the glaring lack of success in the NCAA tournament. I think that that's gone now. This is back to back. They go from a Final Four to a Sweet 16 last year. I like all the pieces they have. God, they're going to be good on defense, but I think that I kind of agree with Dorman's assessment. I think that they could be easily a protected seed and maybe playing beyond the Sweet 16.
Tytel, we already just mentioned you're Arizona Wildcats. You are an Arizona alum. Three NBA draft picks are gone, but Tommy Lloyd did it last year. Can you do it again this year?
Well, since you brought it up, I didn't think Dalen Terry was going to do anything, and Christian Coloco might be a project, but Benedict Mathurin is scoring like 20 a game, and I know he was a like top five, top six pick, but even exceeding my expectations for the Pacers, so I've got to give him a quick shout out. As far as the rest of the team, what excites me is the big Lithuanian, Ažiulis Tubelis, 6'11", averaged 14 and 6 last year. He had a bad shooting effort in his last two tourney games against TCU and Houston, 2 of 15 from the field combined. So I was worried that he was going to go, like all the Europeans do, back to their country to play in the under 20 like international competition. Didn't go back to Lithuania this summer. He spent it in Tucson working on his game, which is why he's like a preseason all-conference player. And my hope that he can get us back to the tournament, because when you lose three picks, it's a lot to ask for.
Rocco, get them back to the tournament. I think this Arizona team is going to be a pretty darn good team this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And I remember last year on this same show that we did, I was talking about Mathurin and his June performance in the FIBA U19. And that's when he just blew my brains when I saw what he did for Team Canada. And I kind of put all my marbles in on him. So I don't watch the NBA at all. So that's awesome, John, that he's killing it already in the NBA. I am not surprised. But here's a guy that did it this last summer that nobody's really talking about yet nationally. He didn't even make first team Pac-12 today, but I'm going all in on Pell Larson as kind of the guy taking that next step. I think he's got a chance to really be their key player, a closer at the end of games, if you will. And I do think Tubelis will be improved. I think he learned a lot from that experience. He loves playing the American style game over the European style. He talked a lot about that today. He loves just getting after it with really good athletes and running rim to rim, you know, call them rim runners. And really curious to see what Omar Ball is going to bring to the table, because he's been sitting behind these guys like Coloco. He was stuck behind Timmy and the bigs at Gonzaga when he was at Gonzaga. And now it's his time to shine. So I think, you know, just that system that Tommy Lloyd runs, there's plenty of pieces to make it go. And a lot of it, they beat 20, you know, out of their 20 of their 30 wins last year, they blow teams off the court with that speed. They'll continue to do that this year.
Dorman, you're an Arizona alum as well. I got to give you a few seconds on your team.
I'm all in on Larson and Tubelis as well. I think they're going to be as awesome as John and Rocco just said. They're great. Two pieces that Coach Lloyd has brought in that I really like: Courtney Rainey this year from Texas and Sed Henderson from Campbell. Two big time players. They played against the best competition there is. They're going to play big roles this year. Put them with Kirk Arisa, who runs hot and he runs cold. But when he's hot, they're going to get up and down the court. They got great athletes. They're going to be deep. I love the system Coach Lloyd runs. They'll be top three in this conference, and they'll be in the tournament, no doubt.
No doubt, yeah.
Yeah. I like them as being a top three team. We've already mentioned UCLA, I think, is a top three team. Titel, I also like the Oregon Ducks as a top three team in this conference. You as well?
Quack, quack, I do. And the key is, I think the key is going to be Will Richardson. So he scored 14 a game last year. He did miss the last five games of the season with mono, assuming he's healthy by now. He actually went to the senior day ceremonies for the Ducks. And then he's like, I think I'm going to come back to school. This guy has played 114 games of college basketball, not Jordan Bohannon level experience, but a pretty experienced point guard for Dana Altman.
Yeah. Salika, your thoughts on the Ducks? Do you agree with him that this is a real good team this year as well?
I mean, Richardson is going to be the main guy to watch for Oregon, but also keep an eye on Jermaine Cousinard, who's going to be transferring from South Carolina. He was one of the better players for the Gamecocks under Angry Frank last year and should have a little bit of a calmer environment here in the Pacific Northwest.
Griggs, I mentioned during our Big Ten show, I really like especially the preseason, to focus in on teams with strong returning backcourts. Mm-hmm. And isn't that what we have at USC with Andy Enfield's team, with Boogie Ellis, Drew Peterson, Reese Dixon, and Waters all coming back here?
Yeah, USC is a team, again, not in the preseason top 25, but a lot of good pieces. And it seems like they're one of those programs that's always a little bit underestimated early in the year. They have been ever since Andy Enfield has gotten there, and maybe even before that. I don't know why that is. They've won 25 or more games the last 2 years. One of those was a COVID year. they're always winning more than 20 games. They're always in the mix. They're always really good. Grant, they didn't go on a deep tournament run, and they haven't been on. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's just that they haven't been to a Final Four or anything. But isn't this a team that's always better than what people think it's going to be in the preseason? Always.
Rocco, you want to answer?
Well, definitely in recent history. I think the first few years of infield at USC, if you remember back, they definitely failed. But ever since they got the the Mobley brothers and the dad, changed everything at USC. So now we're past the Mobleys. We're into another era, probably chapter three if you're Andy Enfield and telling the story. But, you know, because of the Mobleys, they've got just a corner on elite bigs. You see Vince Iwuchukwu coming in this year as a 7-1, five-star freshman, ready to fill in and just be a shot-blocking menace in the middle like they've had the last few years. So the model's in place. We know Drew Peterson can shoot the lights out. In limited time, Dixon Waters has really shot the lights out at over 45% from deep. So they're going to have elite shooters to go with those bigs. So it's just a matter of, you know, can those young bigs stay disciplined, stay out of foul trouble? I think they belong right here at fourth in the league.
Right. Dorman, I see a big drop-off after four down to five in this conference. Do you agree with me, or is there somebody else you think could be up there in that top of the league?
I am with you 100%. Okay. There's four teams and everybody else. Nothing would surprise me with the rest of the group, but I'm with you. These are four teams much, much better than the rest.
Well, do you have a best of the rest then that we can go to next?
If I had to, I would probably.
You can say no.
I'm gonna try Utah, but I'm very nervous. It didn't work last year. I don't know. I didn't love the coaching change, but I'm so down on the rest of the conference. This is how down. I'm surprised if anyone besides the four we just mentioned even sniffs the tournament. I don't see even anyone on the bubble. That's how bad the rest of them are.
You went to Utah. I've got to scroll way down to the bottom of my notes here to find them because I wasn't ready to go even near them yet. But let's go there. You know, Tytel, Brandon Carlson is a stud, I think, but I don't know what else they have around him.
You kind of stole my whole thunder because you're exactly right. No, he's a 7-foot senior, but he shoots 82% from the free throw line, and he scores and he rebounds. And I wish they had four others like him, but they don't.
What has happened to Utah? I mean, they have not been good for a while. Dorman's an expert, and he's called some things before that seemed ridiculous, but like, what do you see? Because, I mean, it's not that – I just didn't see any promise. They do have a lot of players back, but is that even a good thing?
I have a hard time finding anyone. I don't like Oregon State.
I don't like them either.
I can't really find anyone. Go ahead.
Well, let's do this. Let's go to Briggs. You have another team you want to bring up then?
Well, it's the same one I always bring up, and it's I have a long history of overvaluing the Buffs, and I admit it. But I again like the Buffs.
Okay. Well, Stalika, let me ask you about that. It's kind of almost the same thing I said with Tytel with Utah. Different player, though. Tristan Da Silva is a stud, but what else is around him?
Not much else around him, but at the same time, Tad Boyle is the co-dean of coaches along with Dana Altman. He always seems to find a way to, I guess he is Rasputin-like, in that every time you think the bloom is going to finally fall off the rose, they do find a way of cycling back up, and if not the NCAA, at least get to some postseason tournament like the NIT and give us some reason for hope.
Yeah, and I could see them as an NIT team. I think I'll agree with you there. But Rocco, your Washington Huskies, one of the teams, kind of like the teams we talked about we did our Big Ten show, a lot of new pieces coming in. Do you think these guys can gel and do something this year?
They can. I think first person you got to talk about is Keon Brooks. He's a five-star talent coming in from Kentucky. The Huskies are going to give him the key to the car, to be quite frank. And we'll see what he's made of. I mean, you could tell Keon today, he was here, just a kid with a chip on his shoulder, you know, if you're a five-star kid like him, you go to a place like Kentucky, you don't care where you go, you're playing college basketball, you're expected to be the man. And when he had to sit on the bench there, I think it humbled him, but it also made him eager to get in the portal, come to another big school, and be that guy. So he's got that opportunity here. One of the other pickups they made was Franck Kepnong from Oregon, who was actually their best interior defender. So I do think that's going to really help the Husky defense quite a bit. Another 7-foot big transfer they got is Braxton May from Fresno State, who, again, is a nice reserve role, probably two better, more efficient bigs than anybody they had last year. So I do think there's an interesting defensive component. And Noah Williams, of course, he's had his bright spots at Wazoo. He's also had his low moments. So I don't know how much consistency they'll get from Noah, but there's enough pieces there. If it does all come together, it could be pretty interesting. And one other guy to look out for, a freshman that's making a lot of waves in practices early on, is Keon Metafield. You know, if you're familiar with his father on Twitter, kid's getting tons of hype. So we'll see what we can get out of him. But yeah, I can't put him in the tournament at this stage, but there's enough reason to have hope, I guess.
All right. A little hope is what we're at here. Tytel, yeah. A team that had not had hope for many, many years until last season. Kyle Smith over at Washington State, an amazing job last season, this team coming out of the basement. And I know they lose Michael Flowers. They lose a lot in their backcourt heading into this season. But, you know, could they at least stay around that fifth, sixth, seventh place spot in this league this year?
No, they cannot. But I almost made this guy my final thought. Dylan Darling, he's a freshman, and he's got the ties and the genetics. His dad played football for the Cougs and in the NFL. His mom, Kim, was a cheerleader at Washington State. So during COVID, he didn't do much because he laid low. But he ended up breaking the Greater Spokane League scoring record last year with almost 36 a game, previously held by some guy named Adam Morrison of the Zags. And he was the state 4A player of the year. So to answer your question, no, but I think the future, if not bright, is at least a little interesting with this darling of a player named Dylan.
All right. Griggs, Stanford going to, I believe, their eighth or ninth year, Jared Haas, and where are the NCAA tournament appearances?
Yeah, hasn't gotten one yet. I don't think they get there this year either. One of the things they have that you and I like, they're returning quite a bit of experience, but they're returning experience from a team that was not spectacular or impressive really in any way. I'm not big on the Cardinal this year.
Dorman, you being an Arizona guy, you want to talk a little bit about Bobby Hurley and Arizona State?
This could be the end of the road if this doesn't go well. That's what I'll have to say about Arizona State. I really think that seat's hot, and he better be right around four or five in this comp. No.
He's not as lovable as Angry Frank, but he's pretty close. I'm going to miss you.
Well, maybe he'd get a job in the A-10 coaching against Angry Frank. How's that?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
He could go assist his brother. If he's not, they got to be 4 or 5 right around there in the conference, or he could be done.
Rocco, God, yeah, Cal can't be worse than last year, can they?
I don't think so. I thought Cal took a little bit step forward. Obviously, they have so much ground to make up for what they did a couple of years ago. And, you know, I do think they're getting more athletic. You know, through recruiting, a lot of the guys that I think are their best athletes are freshmen and sophomore. So again, it's probably going to be a bunch of growing pains with them. But DeJuan Clayton, don't forget, I mean, we loved him at Coppin State. He's finally made his way up to the big leagues. They'll actually depend on him. They picked up Devin Askew, who was a big time player at Texas. So I think they've got, like, their upside, if everything comes together, is to maybe crack the top 100 this year. I'm not joking when I say that. I think they can get in the top 100.
Yeah.
I actually agree with you. I think this could be a surprise team, not an NCAA team, but maybe even some type of postseason tournament like the TBC or something.
And if they're smart, they should take a CBI bid just to get some sort of momentum going. If they're able to get it to come together. And if a couple of these Pac-12 teams in the middle fall apart, who knows? Cal could get up to maybe ninth or so.
Yeah. Griggs, Oregon State. I think you had a comment before we started recording about them sandwiching in a good season around a bunch of garbage. You want to talk about them?
Yeah, it was a decent season that ended with a spectacular Pac-12 and NCAA tournament run to the Elite Eight. Really one of the more, well, I say this, and then St. Peter's came and blew them away, but one of the more improbable Elite Eight runs, minus the St. Peter ones, maybe in the history of the tournament. And before that, they were terrible, and last year they were just eye-gougingly bad. I mean, they're a tire fire. Oh, my God.
Stalika, is it going to be any better this year?
It certainly can't be any worse.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If they win four games of any kind, it's an improvement.
Yeah, one Pac-12 win, three wins. It was bad last year.
Yeah, the Stallings Award winners actually challenging to get us to rename that award. I don't think we ever will.
No, but I don't think we will either. I guess on that note, what I want to do is, as we do in each of these shows here, run through each of you with three questions. Number one, who's going to win the conference? Number two, how many bids? The answer is four. And
yes.
Number three, any other final thoughts about the league? And Rocco, why don't I start with you?
Yeah, I'll agree with the consensus of the four getting in, UCLA, Zona, Oregon, and I have USC kind of bubble-ish, but bubble in. But I also have – I would put USC at this moment in time on the same level as Stanford and Washington State. I have a funny feeling about Washington State. Just Mo Gee is going to have an unbelievable year. There was teams all over the country. I probably shouldn't name names that wanted him. They were trying to get him pulled away from Wazoo. Somehow Washington State got to keep him. And Justin Powell coming over from Tennessee. I mean, that kid can make a big difference for them. Not to mention Jade Mullins coming over from St. Mary's. So Washington State's got – and Kyle Smith's been building this for a while. If it wasn't for a couple stubs of the toe early last year, they might have been in the bubble picture last year. And then Stanford, I'm a little higher on than usual. I can't believe I'm defending them. But, obviously Harrison Ingram's a special talent. He'll make that freshman to sophomore jump. He could be a first-round NBA draft pick. You've got Michael Jones from Davidson. I love it when a team like this picks up a player from a smart, efficient program like Davidson is. Michael Jones was one of their key guys, and he'll knock down open shots. And I think that gives Stanford an element they didn't have last year. So look for those two to be in the mix most of the year, I think. Okay. And then overall, I think the rest of the league, I do like Utah as the dark horse. I think they won't be nearly as bad as last year. And Stefanovic wasn't really mentioned, but he was all freshman team Pac-12. He's going to be one of those players that makes a nice freshman to sophomore jump for Utah.
Wow. Right. So you heard it here. Washington State, Stanford, Utah all go to the NCAA tournament. Rocco told you.
Yeah. Rocco, Utah isn't just a dark horse. I think they are from deep space black hole dark level.
Well, I'll take it because if anything happens good,
I'll make this. So Rocco, you better get to Vegas quickly. Stalika, your champion, final thoughts, number of bids.
I'd like to congratulate Chad for turning this into a Monty Python sketch right here, where the first two are easy, UCLA, four teams. And as far as final thoughts go, I mean, I wish our friend Zach were here so he could keep a running tab on just how many upset specials we're going to have on the Pac-12 network coming this year.
Oh, yeah. Dorman.
I'm at four bids, but I'm with Rocco. USC isn't as safe as most people believe.
Really?
And they better beat up on the dreck of this conference and not stub their toe too many times, or they'll be in serious trouble quickly, because if they don't get a few Arizona, UCLA, Oregon wins, they could be in real trouble. My overall – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say my thing with USC is they have the backcourt that I don't think Washington State and Stanford have, and they can win those head-to-head matchups. But go ahead.
I'm with you. That's why I have them in the pecking order ahead. But don't mess up too many times or they won't be in the tournament. Mm-hmm. My overall thought on the conference is this is going to be interesting this last year. What is Washington and Oregon going to decide to do football-wise? Oregon, can pick their spot, basically. It sounds, Rocco knows way more than me on this, Washington's probably going to ride Oregon's coattails wherever they go. The next blocks to fall will be Arizona and Arizona State. Do they stick together? Probably. They're worth more together. Are they going to go to the Big 12? Maybe. Are they going to stay out west? Maybe bring in San Diego State, Boise State. it's a football reasons, but there's a lot of moving parts to this Pac-12 conference, and it'll be interesting how it shapes up.
Does Wazoo land in the Big Sky with their big rivals that's 8 miles apart from them and that they've never played in the NCAA tournament?
Yes, Wazoo, Idaho, they need to be in the same conference. We've got to work on that. Tytel.
Play them 4 times a year.
Yeah. I've got a four team in the tournament, the four that we've already mentioned, so I won't repeat it. I think my Cats will get it done despite losing 3 picks. It's going to be so tough. But what would give me the most enjoyment, not sweeping the Maui Invitational, although that's high on the list, but if we can go into the LA schools on March 2nd and March 4th, Trojans and Bruins, and send them packing to the Midwest, to that conference out there with a couple of road wins, that would make my heart feel very, very warm. But we'll see. As far as the... final thought. We heard earlier this week the announcement that these two gentlemen factored in. The gentleman on the right, Jim Nance, will be calling his final four in the spring, and the year after that, his CBS colleague Ian Eagle on the left will be taking over as the head CBS basketball tournament voice. So
I put my name in for that.
Kudos to Nance for quite a ride. I know he has his critics, both in the media and among regular fans. But when I hear his voice, I think of March Madness, of course. And I think Eagles will make a fine replacement. So I'm glad that CBS chose him.
Yeah. You're right. That, I mean, Nance really has been – that is the March Madness voice. And
yeah,
I agree with you completely. Greg, do you want to finish us off here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to stay with the four, and I like Colorado as sort of a bridge team. I don't think they're quite as good as the top four, but I think they're better than the rest. Outside of Colorado, I'm trying to figure out, not only do I think these are the top four, I'm wondering if any of those four lose to anybody, any of the bottom seven. I know it's tough to go to Utah. That's a tough road trip, the Utah-Colorado swing. Just even in years where those teams aren't very good, it's still hard to do it, but UCLA, I just think that those four are almost on another level than the rest of the conference.
I think, and I didn't mention this earlier, I think Rocco's Washington team is that fifth team for me, not Colorado as that bridge team. But go ahead, Greg. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other final thoughts?
My conference champion, I'm going to go with UCLA.
Okay. Well, I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. If you're looking for a conference other than the Pac-12, well, you just wasted your last half hour of your life because this was the Pac-12, but it's up there in the season preview tab. But at this point in time, on behalf of David Dorman and John Sleek up here, John Tytel below me, Rocco Miller, you can check him out at bracketeer.org, and David Griggs to his sides, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.